A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're expressing with our full capabilities, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson. That's right. LL Cool Pete is here too.
Yo, yo, yo. Bum rush the show.
Damn right. Damn right we will. Hang on a minute. Mario Balotelli's rejoined AC Milan on loan.
Yes, he has.
Get a load sneaked of that. Out. Yeah, sneaked out without the press noticing, according to Lord Ramble.
Yeah. What a shocker of a move.
Yeah. Yes, incorrect from Lord Ramble. His contract included some regulations which are applied to those who serve in the Italian Air Force. The regulations include a ban on silly haircuts and silly clothing.
I really tried to sort of shoehorn something about the Italian Air Force and Big Sam playing long ball football stuff, but I just couldn't get it to work, so apologies.
Thanks for letting us know the ideas that don't get on the show.
Probably best to just show you're working out with no end product.
No, because I think I don't want people to think that I don't think about the show a week. I want them to know I'm actually trying stuff.
I think people know that, mate. I know that all of us. It's all we've got. They can hear it. They can smell it.
They can
smell it through their iPods.
They can.
No smoking or visiting nightclubs and not damaging the image of the club on social media.
So do the Italian Air Force have a ban on silly haircuts?
I hope so.
I like that.
They probably have some sort of thing where your hair can't touch your collar and stuff like that. Like a lot of the forces do, I guess.
Mm. Well, if you're a manager, what little rule or rules might you include for a troublesome player in his contract? Or you can choose a specific player if you like, or if you're a chairman, that kind of thing. Jim?
Well, I would go with a team. I'd go with my team, Arsenal. We may remember a couple of weeks ago that Roy Keane was criticising the players for just being more interested about social media and stuff like that. He effectively said, same old Arsenal, always tweeting, really, didn't he? And we all sort of laughed at him for that. But, you know, he might have a bit of a point because they do seem really, really into it. And they seem like a very happy squad of sort of just kind of like nice, wholesome mates. I can imagine, like, they strike me as the sort of people you'd be friends with, Marcus. Just nice, wholesome guys you could take home to your mum. They need it, like Marcus,
People might be in Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you could take them to meet your Mumford and Sons. that much. I think we need as was it Stefan Effenberg once said about Bayern Munich, Bayern need a scumbag. We need a bit of that. So every Arsenal player would have in their contracts that once a match, one of them would be the designated bastard.
Mm.
And they could do whatever they want. They could gouge people's eyes, go around kicking people. They could be nasty all week if they wanted to. Just like, because Yeah, if you share it around the team, it's probably easier to get away with it a little bit, and people be like, bloody hell, like, Nacho Monreal's weird today. It's like he's trying to avenge the death of his father. What's going on?
Sorry, it's Flamini. It's Flamini.
I was about to say
Flamini's just not getting off the bench, is he?
Put him on the pitch.
Flamini's too much of a powder keg. I imagine that's why.
I like the way you're going with this. I thought you were going to say introduce a weekly fight club, which would be wicked.
That would be good. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you know, Arsenal used to be known as a bit of a dirty team, which no one really minds when you're winning things, and we're very much not known as that now. So yeah, designated bastard, that's my answer.
They need to be a bit more selfish and less selfie-ish.
Well done.
Thanks.
I'll say what I said on Twitter earlier in the week about Arsenal. Should you look at the haircuts? Look at the haircut. Not a massive skinhead among them. All got the same haircut, just with varied levels of gel.
Nobody looks unwell, particularly. No, everyone looks well fed.
Monreal.
Peter Cech's hair is very odd.
Yeah, but he's got hair.
Don't see it. Oh,
right.
Don't see it.
Yeah. Okay,
that's not his hair, Jim. Jim.
Good start, Luke. What you got for us, bruv?
I've got written down here, give them all a pet to look after.
Right. Nice.
You know, like that.
Like a live Tamagotchi.
Yeah. I'm sure that this doesn't happen in real life.
You're trying to teach them responsibility.
You'll hear it if you let me talk.
Okay. Shut your mouth, Spelzy.
Yeah, I want to get you a pet as well.
Pete, what have you got? Because somebody isn't getting the points.
I want to show my working out again. you know, like, I'm sure this doesn't, in fact, I'm fairly positive this doesn't happen in real life, but in a lot of films, I've seen it where, like, certain young recruits to whatever sort of elite squadron it is in the film has to be given a pet to look after, and then at the end they're told.
Sorry, well, listen, right? We're all looking around here.
You fear my methods. You don't understand them.
I fear film knowledge.
Okay, example. Recent film, Kingsman, The Secret Service. Who has seen it?
Yes.
No.
I have seen it.
And does that happen in that?
Isn't that for kids?
Does he get a pet?
Yes, he does.
Oh, that's one film.
It doesn't matter.
Name another example.
I didn't ask you questions about your one.
It would have been because mine was logically sound.
I was supportive of yours.
You could have just said,
what about Jurassic
the film
Park?
Kingsman?
They had pets, the dinosaurs. Right,
Jurassic Park's a good example.
No, it's a terrible example.
You know, it went awry, didn't it?
Go on, all got to be in by 10. Move on.
No, go on then. So no, they've all got
think,
a pet.
I just think that you come in as part of the academy, so you get welcomed into the academy or whatever club it is, and they say, right, to teach you responsibility, to teach you how to look after something, to teach you a bit, the world is bigger than just you, because a lot of footballers are well known to be quite self-obsessed.
Yeah.
Here is a pet.
Like in the film Kingsman
again,
and no other film.
Let me finish. And what happens is, based on whether they get given a full-time pro contract or not, part of it is how well and how healthy the pet they've been given has been looked after. And that's part of it. And if they don't do it properly, they're out on their ear.
Right.
I don't know what happens to the pet.
Wouldn't they just hire someone to look after the pet?
They probably would, but I would put little clauses to make sure it doesn't happen.
Little claws.
Little claws. Can you not just give them like a watermelon to look after?
Little
claws. A watermelon, like in Dirty Dancing.
Dennis,
a film.
Dennis Poor.
There we go.
Right. That was Dennis Poor.
Luke Poor. Go on then, Pete. What have you got for us?
I'm almost going to make a serious point, I reckon.
Ooh.
Well, I'll start and see how I feel.
We have talked about this in the past.
Luke, it comes to something when I'm looking at Pete saying, save this.
Every June, the manager has an evening with the players where he just goes, he puts them in a circle and he goes to every single player. He says, have you paid your taxes this year? Have you paid your taxes this year? To every player. Have you paid your taxes this year? Because the amount of footballers that hit 40 and they go bankrupt, David James, for example, because he just owes a load of money to the financial authority. I just think it would be sensible.
Yeah.
So they have it all messy.
They have it written in their contracts that they have to pay their taxes.
And if they're Argentinian,
I love that it takes every fibre of Pete's being to make a serious point. He's really thinking about it.
I just think, but if you're Argentinian, you've got to look really closely at the fans, because they're known, famous Argentinians to not pay their taxes, so.
Yeah.
What's the manager wearing when he makes this point?
A tabard.
There we go.
Doing it in June.
A tabard.
The tax task will be done by January, so you're only 5 days late.
Presumably that's just before they go off on their summer holiday.
Not if you've got a holding company. Yeah, exactly, because they'll be out buying...
Oh, there's the tricks of the trade.
They'll be out buying yachts and stuff in the summer, won't they?
True, yeah.
They'll be going to Orlando and buying like a little home.
Tax deductible.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Certain managers would be very popular among players with little tricks and so on, and they will remain nameless. But you all know them. I'd have it players have it written in their contracts that they must celebrate wildly against their former teams. Celebrations should include diving into their own sets set of supporters, unless they're on a booking, of course, because that would be ridiculous. So think about if, I don't know, they're away to, I don't know, Liverpool or something, and they've chosen to shoot into the Kop in the second half. You have to peg it all the way up the pitch to dive into your supporters.
Dive into your own fans. Like Adebayor did that time.
That was to taunt opposing fans, wasn't it?
But do you mean your old fans or your own fans?
So if you're away...
Oh, yeah, so very much like Adebayor then.
What I meant is you're celebrating with the fans who are celebrating the goal you've scored. You're the away support, you can't just jump into the crowd behind the goal like you would if you're at a home match or something. You'd have to run all the way up the other end of the pitch.
The best one of that was Jerome Boateng celebrating against Man City in the Champions League for Bayern Munich, and he went right past the bench in a massive leap and a pump of the fist.
Excellent.
I mean, what if they're in a top tier?
Yeah.
Nay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, you've got to bring a ladder cut out for you.
Because if they're playing away against Millwall, the fans, away fans, are up in the top tier behind the goal. Yeah,
a lot of European grounds as well, like the bigger ones.
So what are you going to do with that, wise guy?
Well, I'm not going to do anything. Yeah. I'm going to look at the players.
That's for the player to work out.
Yeah, that's true.
Get him a pet.
That's it. I think Pete's got the point.
Yeah, damn right. Bit of financial responsibility.
You've got to pay your taxes.
Fiscal nous with Donaldson.
There we are.
That's my feature for next week.
Absolute Radio.
Fiscal nous.
The house of,
I've been expecting you, sir.
And every week I'll give another bit of advice to youngsters. The house of nous with Donaldson.
Yeah, and then what you should do is make it opposite to the week before.
Yeah.
So they get really,
spend all your money, you only live once.
Yeah, exactly. You can't check it, will you? Yeah.
Hey.
Let's go to the Premier League. Quite an incredible weekend of action in the Premier League. Lots of red cards and outstanding results. And we go to Stamford Bridge first. Pards rides again.
Quote of the weekend from Pards.
Do it.
Chelsea played their part.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I think he's the only manager now to have beaten Jose Mourinho 3 times in the Premier League.
No, that's anywhere. That's across any league Mourinho has played in.
Guardiola, surely.
3 times, apparently.
No, I don't think he did.
Really?
Who knows?
Mourinho wasn't there for that long, remember?
Oh, okay. Well, he's up there, Pards. He's up there with Guardiola, is what we're trying to say.
He's up somewhere.
Guardiola is
easy.
We're going to be flying the correctional clarifications thing next week again, as always, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, it's sorry in advance to the internet.
Yeah. But Palace, they look great. Attack with verve.
I was at Selhurst Park on Tuesday night watching them against Shrewsbury Town in the Capital One Cup.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't a vintage performance from them, but they've got... I mean, it made you realise that they've actually got quite a big squad and that Pardew's built a decent team there now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very strong bench.
And I was chatting, I was with my friend Lee, he's Lee Quickenden, friend of the Ramble.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
He put quite an interesting point over saying, and it's worth keeping an eye on, Pardew, I think, now knows that he might be in the frame for the England job. So he started to change his behaviour. And the example that Lee gave to kick us off with was that when they had that goal disallowed, and it was wrongly disallowed. Oh, no, the other way round. Do you remember the Palace game?
Against Aston Villa.
Yeah, when the goal was, the controversial decision.
Was it MacArthur who scored?
Yeah, the controversial decision.
Yeah, we spoke about it last week.
Pardew, after the game, said... He didn't say anything. He was like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
It was a great decision.
Great decision, yeah. He's
and he refrained that. From headbutting
he's
someone.
He's doing that on purpose. he wants the job at the FA.
He's damn right. He sees it.
He's sucking up to him.
But what do I do? I've already bought into England. That's not right. I didn't think I'd get 2 bites of the Pardew cherry.
Bought into Newcastle, you know?
Yeah. The Pardew pie.
Yeah, it's a pie.
There's a definite inevitability to Palace winning football matches at the moment, isn't there? Yeah. Well, they're bound to win.
Because they've got a great manager.
Got a great manager, yeah.
I'll tell you who's a good player, Papa Soare, the fullback.
I'll tell you who was a good player, Alan Pardew.
But what was really interesting was Chelsea fans booing them at the end. That was...
Booing Pardew?
No, they were booing Chelsea.
No, I was going to say, they never boo Pardew.
It was, yeah, I mean,
how do you know who they were specifically booing?
Well, it sounded very much like they were booing Chelsea. I don't think there's any controversial refereeing decision, and no one had booed Pardew.
They saying Burinho?
It probably was that, yeah. Almost certainly
were
that.
Were they saying Par-boo? it's not that surprising, is it? Because they've been pretty poor this start.
They
of the
have,
season.
But I mean, it's like what 4 or 5 games in. Come on,
come on, wise up.
Yeah. Is that what Mourinho should have said? It's only 4 or 5 games in.
Yeah,
come on, guys,
get real, guys.
The things I'd be frustrated with as a Chelsea fan would be that Diego Costa needs to just get on with this game.
Uber,
huh?
Uber. taken all your livelihood away.
Oh yeah, would be yeah. Yeah, okay. I'd be annoyed at that as well. Yeah, although I would curiously like to personally distance myself from that comment. I'd be annoyed at Diego Costa because he just needs to get on with it. It's fine to be being really combative and chuck yourself around and get into dust ups when you're scoring goals. It just starts to look a bit petty when you're not performing.
Delaney was brilliant on him, wasn't he? He marked him
didn't
so
tightly.
Didn't
take any shit at all. Yeah, and I would be annoyed at Fabregas because he's not got going.
No, he hasn't at all.
Punchin played like Fabregas of 5 years ago. He was brilliant.
That's just a weird statement to process, isn't it?
Around the pitch as if he owned it. It was beautiful.
Ivanovic seems to have aged overnight.
Oh my goodness. He's having an absolute shocker, isn't he? Yeah. It's really bizarre. Like, what has gone on there? Have his legs just gone in the last month
or
something?
Strange.
He's only 31, Ivanovic.
It's very strange.
Yeah, he's 31.
Blassie looked like Maradona at times.
I love Blassie. He's one of my favourite players in the Premier League. Even when he's just running in a straight line, he makes it really unpredictable.
A bit of the one-shots about him.
Very much so.
He's just come back. He wasn't even going to be in contention because obviously his dad died.
Very sad news for him,
So to come back and put a performance in like that.
But Mourinho went over to the bench and said, give him his commiserations and all that. Which is quite nice. His respects.
He does a lot of strange stuff with his hands, doesn't he?
Who, Blassie?
Almost to put players off. Like he almost like waves at the ball when it's on the floor. Sometimes he does that thing where he dips. He does strange hand gestures.
Favorite player with his hands in the Premier League for me is still Raheem Sterling.
He's like, very dainty.
Someone said like he's trying to dry his nail varnish.
Yeah, Aaron Lennon has a similar run as
he
well.
He does very much so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I'd like to see a player run like the T-1000 in Terminator 2.
You've just described Louis van Gaal leaving Old Trafford. No, not Old Trafford, sorry, the Liberty Stadium.
Is Louis van Gaal made of liquid metal?
Yeah, we don't know.
Shoot him with a shotgun.
Were you legitimately and fairly disappointed to not see any Palace players in that England squad?
No, I think it's a bit early for them.
Scott Dan.
Not this time. I think there's a fair shout maybe as time goes on, but I think the Euro ship is probably sailed for most of those places, unless they are blisteringly good.
Well, there's a long way to go yet.
It's not that long. It's less than a year.
Well, it's an entire league season.
All right, Jim.
I can't wait for Pardew to get the England job and then Newcastle fans to get really annoyed when he doesn't pick any Newcastle players.
Well, who is he going to pick?
Exactly.
I don't think Newcastle United England players are, you know, the two things that happen, I guess.
I'm absolutely loving it this weekend.
Has Mitrovic got the passion to play for England?
I love the way you said that Mitrovic reminds you of Alan Shearer. Presumably the Alan Shearer that booted Neil Lennon in the
head. That'll be the one. The one that upturned Keith Gillespie in Belgium.
Not the
in
one
a gutter.
That scored 260 Premier League goals.
There's still time.
Delaney also said that the last couple of seasons they'd come to Stamford Bridge and they'd sat deep and they'd got beaten. So they sort of, in a kind of squad meeting, they made a conscious decision to go and attack them. And Chelsea at the moment, they remind me of United under Moyes a couple of seasons ago, where they lost a few games and everyone was like, oh, hello. You know, if you have a go at them, you can get something here. Mm. And they seem very shaky but susceptible to it.
At Stamford Bridge against Palace, Chelsea played their part. They played their part. Fair play to them.
It is a serious point. Good to see Falcao coming on and scoring. Yeah. Lovely goal.
Nice little striker's goal, that.
It was indeed. A friend of mine, Kristen Hennage, a journalist up in the northeast of England, made a couple of good points to me, and I'm going to make them to you.
Good.
You just said them.
That Pardew, his first 11 tend to love him because he tends to pick the same person. Maybe not just 11 players, but there'll be 13, 14 players. Sometimes the rest of the squad can be cut off a bit, ostracised.
It's the same
slightly.
With Redknapp.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to have a bit of longevity, which by the sounds of things, he doesn't because he's got his eye on the big prize.
Yeah.
In the hot seat.
Big
the
wooden spoon.
Yeah. Used to be a prize.
I'm fed up a winning game.
and all this praise. Yeah.
It's a squad game, and for a full season, you're going to need more than 14 players, of course. And sometimes the players can get a little bit unhappy with him and so on and so forth. So maybe he's better in the short term than the long term. But then the trouble is these days, that's probably most managers.
It's all you get.
Against modern football.
Yeah. But a wonderful win for Crystal Palace. Absolutely superb. Chelsea with only 1 point from two home games. Deary me.
Third season, 33rd,
whatever he's on. But wonderful stuff. Another outstanding result the weekend was Liverpool 0-3. The Irons with their first win at Anfield's 1963. Bilic's boys, very unpredictable.
Yeah.
Two wins and two clean sheets away from home, which include trips to Arsenal and Liverpool, which is stunning.
Yeah.
And then two home defeats, conceding six goals to Leicester and Bournemouth.
I just think Slaven Bilic...
That is so up and down.
I just think Slaven Bilic should pretend that the Olympic Stadium is an away ground for the whole of next season. Yeah. And they'll just win every match. Mm. That's the plan.
I think that's a bloody good plan.
Mm. Nouse with Donaldson.
Lanzini with a nice little one to put
Lanzini
them 1-0.
Is a curious one. He's on loan from some Middle Eastern club or something. I literally never heard of him, Rude. And he's popped up, and it took him about 3 minutes to score. He was an absolute handful all game at Anfield on his debut.
Yeah. And Lovren, God.
Yeah,
such a sorry time.
That's the Lovren we know and love. He's been all right the first few games this season, hasn't he?
Is Lovren come into contact with...
football before.
Yeah, you know, Iranium.
When you fly over... you know, I only like American things now.
Yeah.
So you know when you hashtag travelling over to the US, and when you get on the plane, you have to fill a form in saying if you've been in contact with livestock and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that Lovren had to... So have you been in contact with Carl Jenkins and Aaron Creswell? Because you're playing very much like they played last week, Sam.
It's a weird one.
Who's going to contract it next? My money is on any Portsmouth player.
Well, if anything, though, Lovren's a bit of a confidence player, and that was him being confident.
Yeah. Overconfident, wasn't he?
Yeah. Too much.
In the second goal, Mark Noble's goal, Lovren was obviously skinned. Directly before it, but like that was the second time in that phase of play he'd been skinned. He'd already fallen over and bumped into the linesman before he fell over the second time.
And then Kevin Friend ran up to him and go, I'll get rid of Noble for you later.
Noble's reaction to the red was amazing. It was, I've seen it 10 times back and there's no malice in it. Surely you know, like, you were there.
I can't remember if I was angry or not. Let me watch it back.
That's something I'd sort of get rid of in football. Do a fine
Kevin Friend. I agree.
Just people sort of go, there's no malice in it. That's not in the rules. Don't worry about it.
Not the problem.
Malice, anger, ennui, it's not in the rules.
Yeah. I didn't think it was. There's no malice in a gas leak. Still going to kill you.
Hello, referee's helpline. Okay, was it malicious? Was it malicious?
You've come through to the Hartlepool United club line.
did he have a frown on his face when he did it, or did he have a clown's face painted on himself?
It wasn't a sending off, though, I didn't think.
No, I think both Coutinho's were kind of harsh bookings as well. It was a strange... afternoon.
The Noble one was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I think bookings...
Just momentum made it look worse than it was.
Bookings are a very different thing. I mean, you got different reasons for people being booked.
Might not even been a foul.
No, I don't...
I thought about saying that, but I thought I might be ridiculed, but I agree with you. I don't think it was a foul.
Safety
the
numbers.
Only one that's not expressed that position, so if you have a problem with it, just let him deal with it.
Because I got nails coming out of my teats.
Noble, though, he did score a lovely one, though.
Yeah.
Very cool, calm finish. Into the corner. But Bilic got his tactics right, saying, we parked the bus, but we didn't put the handbrake on. There is nothing wrong with that.
Well,
nothing wrong with it,
highway code probably says
I don't think I don't think anybody would complain, even if you did park the bus, as people like to say these days. You scored three goals.
I won 3-0.
Yeah, no, but it was a shutout where they scored three goals. I think he's being harsh on his own team there.
He's great value, older Slaven.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it, already?
Speaking of good value, Ruud Gullit.
Made
a very odd point saying that
he was just basically saying whatever he wants, like a Dutch legend is wont to do.
Yeah.
If there's someone in football speaking perfectly straight about something, they don't care what anyone else thinks about, they generally tend to be over the age of 45 and Dutch.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
How much would you love it if Van Gaal becomes a pundit after management?
I just love listening to him speak about anything. Yeah. He says words in really odd orders. It's brilliant.
Have you seen that video of him shouting Louis Van Gaal's Red and White Army?
Yeah.
It's
so weird.
Astounding noise.
Do the impression.
Well, you know there are syllables in there, but they all sort of blend into one.
He goes up to another
brilliant.
Level. Ruud Gullit said that one of Liverpool's problems, like off the back of this result, was that they needed a bigger stadium.
Yeah.
Actually, one of Liverpool's problems that they've inexplicably had for the last three seasons is they seem to just constantly hit the woodwork.
Yeah,
like, whoever they sign.
Jim, if you play under 50,000 in front of under 50,000, you're going to get these results.
Yeah. Mm. That exposed Portsmouth the last few years.
What do you reckon?
Doesn't explain Newcastle.
That's true.
It's been a good value. Borini Sunderland for £10 million.
What a beautiful modern love story that is. Sunderland, Liverpool, Borini love triangle.
Yeah.
Where will it end?
He was having none of it this time last summer. He was going, nah, I'm not going. And now he's going, I have got no options.
Yeah.
Nobody wants me.
Scored a goal in a Wembley final for Sunderland. Mm. Get over there.
Yeah.
And you don't get that in other clubs in the North East. Or do you? Because Middlesbrough were in a playoff final.
Yeah.
And that's at
Wembley. What's your point, Mark?
I'm just trying to dig you, man.
You're having a... not doing a very good job of it.
All right, well, Newcastle's a little bit later. Sorry, I jumped the gun. Wonderful win for West Ham, though. They're brilliant value. They are brilliant value. I'd love this if they're terrible at home and then amazing away.
Mm. I mean, the West Ham season ticket holders would probably have a different view, Marcus.
That's very true.
But the West Ham season ticket holders are least partly to blame. Because they're an absolute nightmare bunch of fans.
Aren't they?
Well, they are, aren't they?
I mean, wow.
What?
You're not usually so far off the fence one way or the other.
Yeah, well.
Oi.
Oi. Fuck you.
Steady. Danny Ings coming on.
Danny Ings.
He enjoyed his debut.
Yeah. You could have... let him come on at another time. Ings, you want to... Nah.
he did look all right. He shot things up a little bit, but it's just, not a great time
to
introduce yourself.
Too little, too late. Swansea beat Manchester United 2-1. The Super Swans with another 2-1 win against Manchester United. They're fourth in the last five meetings with Man U.
Yeah, it was a brilliant win. I saw an incredibly harsh headline today. It was it was a picture of Bafétimbi Gomis celebrating his goal, doing that weird like hand dance
panther
thing that he does. And
it's supposed to be a panther.
The sun,
that's what it looks like, a dog.
It was just in the Sun, which I read over someone's shoulder. Come on, guys. And the headline was simply, "The Ugly Truth."
What, really harsh?
That's not... About what?
Just about Bafétimbi Gomis.
What, is he particularly ugly?
No.
I don't think so.
But it was framed very much as like, oh, look at this ugly man. It has parallels with Man United's ugly season.
Can you keep your Sun research to yourself?
I'm criticising it. We're not endorsing it.
We're not even in the sphere of, like, you know, knowing whether Gomis is ugly or attractive.
I am, as a person who's got serviceable eyes, and
Faculties.
I think he's quite...
He's a powerful specimen.
I think he's quite an attractive chap.
And he's in great goal-scoring form, lest we forget.
9 in 10 Premier League games.
God, that pass from Ayew was the pass of the season
absolutely
delish.
Would you call it magnificent?
You would.
Yes.
And I wouldn't want to step on your word.
Thank you, but you did say delish.
Romero was probably at fault with both of the goals, though.
No, but the pass, we were talking about the pass.
The pass was fantastic.
Yes, the pass was. What about the goals, Luke? Do you think the keeper was at fault?
I think Romero was at fault for both of the goals, though.
Even the Gomis one?
Yeah.
No, sorry. Even the AU ones.
Sorry.
AU ones, the header.
He's essentially, when the ball comes over, you see goalkeepers do it quite a lot. They'll cover their near post, but then quicker than we all know, because they're professional athletes and they've got better reactions. They know the cross is coming over. So that at that point, they need to move a step or two to the right, in this case, plant their feet, and then dive. He doesn't move across quick enough. He then doesn't plant his feet. So when he dives, he doesn't go anywhere. He just he dives like the Swedish goalkeeper in World Cup 90 in the free kick against Brazil, I think.
Ooh.
Bit of an obscure one. I think
Thomas Ravelli.
Thomas Ravelli, yeah. And he just dives, he doesn't go anywhere. And so for me... that should have been saved, and the second goal was a crass error.
I think the quality of the pass took him by surprise, didn't it? But United fans are going to be looking at this thinking, like, you know, if De Gea leaves, as it looks like he will, just thinking, how have we lost David De Gea and Victor Valdez and ended up with notoriously too small and not good enough Romero? How has this happened?
They've
spent like £240 billion.
Valdez is the one.
Yeah.
Like that perfect replacement
for me. Clash, isn't it?
Not only that, a lot of people say that the Valdez situation essentially cost United signing Pedro as well,
right?
Because
of course that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a blow. But I think we should wait until it's Louis van Gaal's team though before we judge.
Yeah. Whose team is it now?
I'm not sure. It's the fans.
It's the ghost of David Moyes.
Yeah.
But once again, everyone will be talking about Manchester United's proclivities and problems. But I think, you know, Swansea. I thought once they went behind Swansea, they just got their tactics right. They put another person in midfield.
They did.
And so he was freed up. And when Key came on...
For Routledge.
It was weird because that's not an offensive substitution in the slightest.
No.
But it just kind of showed up the midfield and let the strikers do what they do.
You're absolutely right. Monk is quite astute when it comes to that kind
of
thing.
Look at what Swansea are doing. Look what they're achieving. Look at the central thread through all their decisions off the pitch with the managers they hire and stuff like that. And what can be achieved with a coherent sort of strategy. When you compare it to a bigger club like Spurs, who are just all over the place organisationally, it really does show you what can be achieved when everyone's pulling in the same direction.
And they've got a good spine, Swansea. They've got a decent keeper. Ashley Williams is superb. I mean, when he got back, I mean, Rooney, the way he jinked it past, the defence actually was quite brilliant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And for Manchester United fans, it was a shame that he didn't take the blooming shot.
Rooney is so bad at the moment.
Yeah. But Rooney just Champions
wasn't,
League!
Rooney wasn't expecting Ashley Williams to be up to that, was he, effectively?
Well, he was.
Indeed.
Rooney just looks like a giant thumb in a shirt.
Yeah.
just doing nothing. Yeah. So just waving himself around on a hand.
More an attempt to turn a hand into a person.
Yeah.
Like that's been made in a lab and somehow got out.
A but giant thumb just screaming swear words for 90 minutes.
Did you hear him in the... He played a bad pass and I think he went to a Sonsby player and he went, ah, shit! Yeah. And then picked up perfectly on the mic.
Yeah. Again.
That kind of stuff. That's the best. Really that's funny. Football at its best.
But it's like somebody who's got Rooney. If we're going to play up front, don't come in short for the ball. Like, just pull the defenders around.
But he does
if
that,
nothing
though,
else.
He always drops short, doesn't he?
He doesn't play like a front man. And he's not going to, at 30 years old, suddenly go, oh, I need a bigger, you know, a big target man.
And he's not sort of character to reinvent himself. No, he's playing on his instincts. He's not gonna. I think that my personal view on it is, and given that he scored a hat trick, and there's no such thing as a bad hat trick at all, but it wasn't an outstanding hat trick against Club Brugge. But he did score it. But that aside, I think we've got a situation now where Van Gaal is trying to reinvent Rooney and trying to get him to perform different roles, much like Gary Neville said at the weekend on Sky. And that is just folly. You can't do that. You can't do that at a player his age. Mm. You can't do it at a player of his instinct and the way he plays. And it's not going to work. And I don't think the French striker they've just signed, who is one of the rawest talents in Europe for 40 million or something,
£36 million,
is anywhere near what they should be doing at this point.
I mean, bearing in mind, they've already spent, is it 230 million this summer alone?
Mm. That's Mr. Creosote with the thin mint, isn't it, really? Just one more.
I mean, they've spent so much. I mean, Chelsea and City get criticised when they spend an absolute fortune and they don't win everything.
And Spurs as well.
Spurs, absolutely. Liverpool, everybody does, you know. But I don't know if United are being sort of taken to task on this enough. I know it's early days and the team has to gel. And it's not the manager's team, which is going to be difficult for everyone involved.
Brad's been in touch on Twitter. At Brad Galriri. He says, the amount spent in this summer's transfer window has surpassed the GDP of some other.
Wow,
that's fact.
That's astounding, isn't it? Ashley Williams did a pards after the game. Did you see that?
No.
He talked about Man United last season. He was like, yeah, I mean, they've improved a lot since last season, having just beaten them 2-1.
That is brilliant.
Manchester United.
What is happening here? Yeah. Chelsea, it's like the last days of the Premier League.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
I'm absolutely loving it. Going back to Swansea's lovely spine with the keeper, you know, defence. Midfielder, obviously, up front, Big Jonge.
Yeah, he got the nod, didn't he?
He got the nod. Jonge.
Yeah,
he is the nod. Jonjo Shelby, marvellous.
He's the nod.
Did you see at one point he did a back pass?
He did
to
it
the
all.
Goalkeeper that looked like a really cultured long range shot.
Shelby, I tell you, with Shelby in that England side. Silverware.
I just think that you could build an England side around that kind of play. He's still young. And
Pete's on board.
I'm on board the Jonjo Shelby.
Right, yeah.
Party managing, building the team around Jonjo Shelby. Silverware from the Silver Fox.
I've just got him on board. Don't take him back off.
He's just bought his ticket. He doesn't want to use the calling off period.
It's weird that... do you want to go in the England in the squad briefly?
Go on then.
Jamie Vardy getting his place.
Yeah,
but then he did something horrible off the field. I don't think you should reward him, however we're playing and whoever we're playing. We're only playing San Marino for crying out loud. We're not desperate for bodies. It seems silly. It sends the wrong message.
Just to give you a sort of bit of devil's advocate, there are unlikely to be any Japanese players in the English squad. So it might not be a problem.
Well, he got the fine and he's taken the punishment.
I just think he could have waited a little while. That's all.
Surely isn't from a football sense, isn't San Marino a good match in which to test?
Well, there'll be no Japanese there anyway. I think it's a little racist.
It depends where you look at it, because like the schools of thought are opposite. One is you can experiment against San Marino, and so that's good. But on the other hand,
you learn nothing because it's San Marino.
It's rubbish.
And also, Pete, I do agree with what you're saying there. But if England players didn't get to the squad because they were doing terrible things off the field,
Shelby's out.
Probably right.
John's just back out.
No, come on. But we're
ringing us like,
this is your fault.
A few more games to talk about before we move on. Stoke 0, West Brom 1. Rondon got his first for West Brom.
Battering ram.
Peter, I would like you to marry him so you can have a double barrel name of Rondon Donaldson. That's what I wanted to get in there. But Stoke had Afolai and Adam, I nearly said. Adam sent off.
Adam.
Yeah.
Adam. I promise you this. When I saw the midfield lineup of Stoke on Saturday, I was had a little chuckle to myself. Afolai, Shaqiri, Adam.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem right.
But Charlie Adam's quite a cultured player.
He's the only guy who's been left on the field at the end of the day, so he had the last laugh. Well, he didn't, his team would be.
Adam's sending off was amazing. amazing because he was apologising to the player to make it look like it was nothing while standing on his thigh.
He did stand on it. What about Afellay sending off?
That was just silly, wasn't it, from both of them?
Sorry, I said Adam was the only one left on the field. Of course, Shakira was the only one left on the field. The funny thing about that was Mark Hughes being, I mean, letting himself down in a huge way because he's done quite a good job there. And he's tempted big players to the club and he deserves credit for that. But he was so one-eyed in his assessment of those two incidents. First of all, he said, there's no way you could have seen anything about what happened with Charlie Adam because right over the edge of the other side of the pitch. And the Afellay one, he's basically slapped the guy in the face. I mean, you can't not get sent off for that. and there's no way that who was it? Was it Dawson or was it?
Dawson was on the floor when
Dawson was the mat.
Stampede.
Who took a good slap across the chops from
Gardner?
Gardner, that's right. A Gardner gave him a little dig, but it wasn't anywhere near. It wasn't excessive.
Silly, wasn't it? They're both like utterly. It's so embarrassing when you see a player. They've had a finger to the face, and then they just do that. Like even putting your hand to the face to suggest you've been hit and bring on the red card
to be
the
honest
referee.
With you, Jim,
I know it's the rules, but it's just embarrassing to see.
What I was going to say is that it's got that embarrassing that I didn't think his reaction was that bad because he stayed on his feet.
the Hughes point is wrong because I think you could describe Afellay's actions as violent conduct, but I don't think you could have described the West Brom player's action as violent.
Yeah, possibly.
So that's basically why he's not.
Stoke did all right considering they were down to nine men with about what they played about an hour.
Yeah, Pulis didn't want to twist the knife, did he? Not back at his old stomping around.
Fair enough, but he got the win.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah, that's fine. That
Stoke,
is absolutely
Stoke
fine.
Brought that result off because I had two men sent off. Pulis is still a legend there.
That's right. Was everybody happy at Villa Park when they shared the spoils? Aston Villa 2, Sunderland 2.
One of my highlights of the week was the video of Wes Brown. Have you seen that?
No.
That was a brilliant video doing the rounds on the internet this week of Wes Brown outside a bar, professional athlete, outside a bar about 2 a.m. by the look of it. And he's having like an altercation with a load of people. Like a load of people are like sort of shoving around and like there's a bit of heated exchange. And there's Wes Brown quite clearly standing there. And then so you hear from the sort of, it goes on quiet. And someone from behind the camera just goes, "Tackle him, Wes."
That's nice.
It's brilliant. That's really good.
He can't.
Villa.
Yeah.
What a goal.
Absolutely.
But Jim, weren't Arsenal after him?
Well, it was one of those rumours that went round for ages and ages and loads of people going, we got a sign in Villa from people that have never even bothered to watch a video of him on YouTube. But, I mean, he was linked to a lot of big clubs, wasn't he? But
did you enjoy the fact that Villa was against Villa?
I think we all enjoyed that.
I've got some Villa info.
You go on.
He came through at Rennes and was really highly rated as like a defensive midfield player.
That's right.
And then he was called up to a couple of French squads. He had huge disciplinary...
22 caps?
Yeah. He
hasn't played since 2012.
Exactly, because he had huge disciplinary issues. And I think I'm right in saying one of them was after a France training session or a night after a game or a couple of nights before a game, he asked if he'd go into to a local bar or something, or to go to a coffee shop or something like that, and it ended up being photographed like 200 miles away in a nightclub.
My goodness. Oh,
so then they got a bit of a reputation as a bit of a bad boy after that, and then he went off. Did he go to Rubin Kazan after that?
Yeah, I think he went. Right,
and
yeah,
I think that was seen as the fact that no one would take a move on him because he was too much of a reckless character. And that's why, with greatest respect to Sunderland, that's why he's cropped up at Sunderland, because obviously a reason. But ability-wise, he's absolute quality.
Yeah, but for his career, what he needs to show to people is that he's willing to knuckle down and get stuck into a fight, which is a perfect position to be in if you're playing for Sunderland, because as we've seen, you know, they're already...
Yeah. It was good to see Scott Sinclair getting a brace.
Yeah, he's playing very, very well lately.
According to the BBC, Villa have just won 17 of their 71 league home games since December 2011, averaging less than a point a game in that
period. Yeah, Sherwood's Premier League win percentage has dipped under 50% now.
Does that please you?
It does. I haven't seen the hamstring incident. Has anyone else seen that?
He kicked the bottle.
Is it funny? I haven't seen that.
It was funny because he started sort of like yelping a bit, and then he sort of sat in those chairs you get in the dugout and just kind of thrashing about, making it all about him again. Yeah. So
"Oh, I never pulled my hamstring once in my playing career." It's like, yeah, because you never actually ran.
Did you see?
He won the Premier League. Come on,
without running,
or the Premier Ship. As it was called then. Which is not what it's called now.
Villa's second really showed how weak Sunderland could be at the back at times. There were five people.
You can't hide the smirk on your face, can you? It's beautiful.
Five players, I hasten to add, in the penalty box, and it still got through to their striker.
The problem with Sunderland defensively is that no matter how many defenders they pick, that is essentially just one more player to make a mistake, which will happen. So they've got eight defenders, that just means it'll be eight defensive
eight
errors.
Brambles.
Four.
Put in eight Titus Brambles.
Oh dear, we're going to talk about Newcastle United after this.
Cool fact, A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Marcus, I think it was a nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Thanks, Craig.
Mitrovic finally got a red card.
Yeah.
Yay. Finally.
Yeah. His Premiership dream.
Premier League
dream.
Come on, we just had that.
I don't care.
It was a definite red.
Yeah.
Why should we have to go along with that nonsense branding?
It's not branding.
I think if Kevin Friend thought that Mark Noble chain was a red, if he saw Mitrovic, he would have probably passed out.
The weird thing about Mitrovic's foul was that it seemed really calm. It was just like, oh, there is a leg, I shall kick it.
This is what I do.
And Santi Cazorla was just like comforting him.
Yeah,
afterwards.
He was going, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, it was really
weird. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. He's going, no, it wasn't.
A lot of Newcastle fans saying they didn't think it was a red.
I think a lot of Newcastle fans didn't cover themselves in a lot of credits. Can he cover himself in credits? Cover themselves in a lot of glory over the weekend.
Now.
they were like, oh, no. Well, Arsenal was set up to, every time they got a touch, they went down. They're allowed to do that. Don't do the touching then.
A lot of, for me, if I may put my biased Arsenal hat on, it did look as if tactical fouling was very much part of the Newcastle plan, obviously, after they'd gone down to 10. So,
well, it's a little from column A, a little
from column B.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Newcastle, though, they're already in the relegation zone, just 2 points from 4 games, Peter.
I was surprised that...
They defended quite well against Arsenal, considering.
Yeah, I think
Arsenal were pretty kind of toothless, weren't they?
Very, well, that's it, isn't it? We spoke about this earlier in the need for a designated bastard. And
designated goal scorer.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see how that pans out tomorrow, if it does.
I don't actually think Newcastle did defend that well against United. They conceded a lot of chances.
No, they definitely defended. Mbemba at the back was better against Arsenal, I think. But and Kroll had a lot more to do. But I... McLaren made quite an interesting point that I didn't know. We're apparently the youngest team in the league.
That's
interesting. Well, they've had some tough. I mean, listen, the fact they're in the relegations at the moment is really
irrelevant.
And they've had some tough games. So
that's true. Yeah. Very true. Wouldn't happen though if Pars was there.
Two things though. Xbox controller man. He had an Xbox controller and he was doing stats. And also Torvund doing the post match in a tux.
Yeah, nice to see.
That's very much in the highlight of week kind of
nice. What is the tux thing at Newcastle at the moment?
Well, I don't know. Mbemba turned up one, didn't he? And then like Torvund got involved.
That's right.
He looked lovely.
That is right.
Though Lord Ramble did point out that it did look like a clip on bow tie, which we don't endorse here at Football Ramble.
Full on Bateman.
That's right. Lord Ramble there. Well, there you are. A wonderful weekend's action in the Premier League. Scottish Premiership.
Do we have to do it this week?
Yeah, I mean, Aberdeen made it 5 wins out of 5.
They've equaled
Hearts' season record.
Dandy Don.
That's right. Celtic have gone top. Hearts, they lost away to Hamilton. Referee conspiracy.
Yeah.
Sending off when they were 2-1 up and cruising, and then all hell broke loose.
I wonder if the authorities in that country like to see Heart of Midlothian doing well, Marcus.
Well, look, clearly they don't.
No.
Do you think Hearts are handicapping themselves just to make it look like there's kind of a sense of competition?
No, it was the referee, Jim, that did it.
Well,
the powers that be see the way things are going. They see the trajectory.
the trajectory.
It's like one of my spoonerisms.
Spellerisms.
They see the way it's going and they've acted, which is a great shame. But hopefully they'll be able to overcome the dark forces.
I enjoyed the Celtic not a knife thing on Twitter.
Yes!
Because yeah, obviously they're drawn with...
You enjoyed their response.
Galatasaray.
Fenerbahce.
Yes. Absolutely ridiculous.
And so posted some horrible pictures.
Yeah, if anyone hasn't seen this, it's...
Yeah. Explain.
So all the thugs, the Fenerbahce thugs on Twitter were sort of posting pictures of them in like, in scarves, with scarves wrapped around their mouths and with knives sort of going, welcome to hell, we're going to stab you. And then a lot of the Celtic fans responded with pictures of, that's not a knife, this is a knife kind of situation.
Well, like it was like plastic forks and spoons.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't even metal ones.
Or somebody had a dog in their hand, someone had an ice cream.
Very
wonderful.
Good.
I see they've played Knifey Spoonie before.
Indeed. staying in Glasgow, Mark Warburton started very well as Rangers manager, winning his first 8 games in charge. First time this has happened since 1920 under Bill Struth.
Bread sales still on the up? Do we have any update on that?
I'd imagine so.
Presumably that Bill Struth era would have been in the top flight, though.
Yeah. Mm. I'd have thought so. Mm.
So it's not as good, as
I'd like to think he was Australian. Bill Struth?
Yeah, who knows?
He had lovely round glasses.
Ah, good. let's go to Serie A, eh? Yeah.
It's open for business.
Yeah. Serie A. Didn't make the... Sorry about that. Didn't make any sense. AC Milan 2, Empoli 1, Carlos Bacca and Luis Adriano. The two summer signers got the goals.
Really brilliant strength from Bacca on the first goal.
Mihailovic, the manager, was unhappy with the performance.
Yeah, I think Sinisa Mihailovic, I can see why they've hired him. He's obviously sort of burnishing a decent reputation as a manager. I can see there being fireworks between him and Balotelli.
Yeah, oh my God. I imagine after that game he just spat on them all in the dressing room.
Well, Milan needs something this season because they were very, very poor last time round.
It's been a few seasons, hasn't it?
They haven't started too well. So they got a win and their two summer signings scored. So there's something there. I appreciate the performance wasn't great, but Mihailovic isn't having any of it. The result is the only thing to salvage, nothing else. Courage and personality was lacking from my players. We won, but I feel like we have lost. What the hell?
It's gone under the radar a bit, or at least our radar a bit, that Mihailovic is in charge of Milan. Mm. This is going to be brilliant, isn't it? This is going to be great fun.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a known nutter. Carpi lost 1-0, 2-1, sorry, at home to Inter. Small side from Medina. They hosted their first ever Serie A match. They played the first Serie A match last week, of course. They got gubbed by Sampdoria 5-2, which was a great show, but it's just amazing that they're in the league. This is the side, I think they went bankrupt in about 2000 and then reformed a few years later, merged with a couple of other local sides. And they're now in Serie A, which is quite a remarkable story.
Jovetic got a double.
Yeah, he's loving it. 3-2.
Last minute goal. I do like how Carpi have got a forward called Kevin Lasagna.
Yeah.
To be applauded.
Indeed it is.
Didn't we name a show after that?
I think we did, that rings a bell, Kevin Lasagna. Yeah.
And Roma beat Juve!
Yeah, which is great because...
Juve lost again!
Juve and Roma has been sort of the big tussle in Serie A for the last couple of seasons, but Roma have never realistically been in it going into the closing stages of the season, so they are the best bet at someone wrestling it away from the old lady. And that's a big win, isn't it, in that context?
Have you ever wrestled anything from an old lady?
Not that I soberly remember.
Pjanic with a lovely free kick. Dzeko opened his account.
He did. It was a nice header.
You'd imagine
Dzeko
will score a few
goals. Well, the ball looked up in the air, didn't it? And Dzeko had to hold the defender off for a while and managed to do so.
He's a great header of the ball.
Good to see old Scheza in goal for Roma as well. Playing his part.
They've got a lot of good players there at Roma.
Did you see someone posted a video of this prison celebrating the Roma winner?
No, I didn't see that.
It's just like this dog's man going, "Rah!"
Wow. So in Italy, do teams have their own prisons? You know, like in some places in South America, gangs run the prisons. Is it like the
ultras? Wouldn't bloody put it past them.
I'll tell you what, the best prison scene in Italian prisons was when Balotelli visited that prison and they were all loving him.
It was a women's prison, wasn't it?
No, that was another story. This is when he actually
turned up.
That
was a different story of him visiting a prison for no reason.
Yeah. Hey, I was quick to dismiss that, sorry. No, when he turned up, I think maybe with his mate or something like that, and he was walking through the prison and all the prisoners were absolutely loving it. Like it's like Beatlemania, man.
Literally not how prisons work, is it really?
No, it shouldn't be what it's like.
No.
Just going in there to show off that he could leave. I can go whenever I want.
But was it not nice that the prisoners were all loving it?
The thing is, though, it gives out the wrong message, because even if prisons are about rehabilitation as much as punishment, what are they saying? Oh, yeah, if you stay on the straight and narrow, you can be just like him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Considering some of the... feedback, for want of a better word, that Balotelli gets from people in Italy. I thought that was quite nice.
I think if you're in that situation, I don't think you'd know what to make of it and you'd just sort of let him get on with it.
Mm. Evra and Robinho sent off for Juventus.
Evra was two yellows, wasn't it? I saw that. I didn't see the Robinho one. What was that for? It was a straight red. I didn't actually see it.
Well, you've
I stumped you there.
You've
I've
twisted me up. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
My mind is frazzled. Mm.
But Everett took ages to leave the pitch, didn't he? Paul Pogba had to talk him into leaving.
He's got a bit... I think he sort of almost wouldn't accept the second yellow. Everett's clearly in that situation the senior player there as well. So it's weird that Pogba had to do that.
Yeah. I guess sometimes, though, you know, players just get that missed and someone has to step in, however experienced.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not been perfect. I mean, remember all that France stuff and whatnot. But Juve doing a Chelsea at the moment, aren't they?
A bit early to say, I think, yeah.
Well, lost the first two games, they've had a bad start. Yeah, being sent off. Yeah,
3 months after appearing in a Champions League final.
Well, they should know better then.
Short-termism is the enemy of the sport we all love.
Indeed, but that is why it's so outstanding. If I said, and Milan lost to Roma 2-1, you wouldn't batter an eyelid, would you?
Batter. That's all right. You can batter an eyelid. I'm pretty sure.
So it's bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
He's very Scottish.
The good thing about language is it's always evolving, isn't it? Always evolving.
I don't like a spellerism to go unnoticed.
That's fair enough.
I just feel they should be appreciated.
Let's go to Romania. Gigi Becali.
Yes.
It's about time we had a little update. This is super. Speaking of prison, he revealed in one of his books, it's come to light, that one of the books that he wrote in prison, that a few good years ago he tried to establish a political party that included a number of Romania's players from their golden generation that came through at Steaua Bucharest. A number of them did. Georgi Hagi was to be senator, and Gica Popescu was to be defence minister. Other players he wanted involved were Ili Dumitrescu, Florin Radicioiu, Daniel Prodan, and Adrian Ili.
Adrian Ili, I forgot about him.
Ili scored a great goal against Colombia in 98. Yeah. One of the most beautifully unorthodox style finishes you'll ever see.
I love this idea that certain people
getting the band back together.
I love this idea that certain people have that because a football team was good at something or a footballer was good at something, those skills are transferable into absolutely anything. They were brilliant in the Football World Cup, let's make them the rugby team.
We've seen over and over again that a lot of them aren't even transferable from football players into football managers.
or pundits,
let alone...
Or citizens.
Popescu was jailed for financial irregularities.
Right, yeah, he needed some of Donaldson's fiscal nous there. Mm.
Get in the nouse house.
So glorious stuff there. Goodness knows what other stuff lurking in that
Dan
book.
Was Dan Petrescu defence minister, is that right? Is that just because he was a defender?
No, Gica Popescu.
Okay.
He was a defender as well. Mm. He was a sweeper.
Dan Petrescu looks exactly
Dan Petrescu
like
wasn't involved, Mulder. Mate. Wasn't involved. Right. So keep your Mulderisms to yourself.
Well, the point stands.
It does. Unwelcome return this week to the corrections and clarification section. Mm. But this is a clarification, not a correction. Callum Wilson, of course, is one of only a handful of players to have scored an away hat-trick in the Premier
League. It was the away that was important.
Yes, I was so caught up in the excitement of it that I forgot to say away.
For a promoted side?
For a promoted
side.
We had
lots of people chipping off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's fine though. If I've made something that needs to be clarified,
passion for the game is passion for the game.
Yeah, and now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi everyone.
Hey.
Hi Luke Moore. Hi guys. Got some highlights of the week over here. Edward Norman has been in touch with a lovely summing up of the Tim Sherwood situation in one sentence. Gary Monk is the manager Tim Sherwood thinks he is.
Ooh, I'd have that.
Cutting, isn't it? What we got here? Michael Dunn says, you boys working on a bank holiday so the rest of us mere mortals can still go back to work with a fresh new ramble. You're heroes. Yes, Michael Dunn. Yes, we are.
I'd like to point out that myself, Luke and Marcus are very much mortal.
That's true. Pete hasn't
got the test results back.
By virtue of
midichlorians are quite high.
If Pete dies, he'll live on through the internet.
Yeah.
Am I like a cockroach?
Here's one from Robbie Kingston. He's a regular contributor. I'm not sure if he's friend of the Ramble. Might be. He said, I saw a dog have a poo on the tube. I've never seen that.
No. I'm really happy I've not seen that.
I once got on a train at London Bridge and a bird flew in and it flew out at Brighton. Imagine what the hell is going through that brain's
mind. It'd be having
bird's
a lovely
brain.
Time. Birds
Maybe it was
bright,
going home.
Apart
right?
from on fireworks night.
Maybe we'll show. Yeah, he was just commuting, mate.
I saw a dog. saw a dog cock its leg on some fruit outside a grocer's once, and then saw his owner look over and just go, "Oh no,
oh dear." You have to buy it.
Yeah, you got to just buy a tray of fruit.
Buy it all and put it in the bin.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more. But
imagine it probably does.
Carry on.
Yeah. Adam John Watson, he says, not football related, but I finally hit my target weight and passed my medical to join the Navy. Made losing 6.5 stone totally worth it. Wow. Thanks for letting us know, Adam. That's a really
great
lovely
news.
Story.
Yeah. Well, this should be the highlights and encouragements of the week.
Well, that's a highlight of his week. Yeah. So, you know, good for him.
Or inspirations of the week, maybe.
Oh, here's one for Pete.
Oh.
From Bob Dunn.
Oh.
Why do you say that with such trepidation? Are you in trouble?
I guess Romeo Dunn's brother.
Do you know him? No. He says, I bought a programme from Newcastle versus Sheffield Wednesday from the 96-97 season to show the lads I teach how good the team was when I was their age. Best 30p I've ever spent.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what it's come to.
Is that
for
it?
Your
okay,
club.
Right.
Yeah, that is what it's come to for your club.
I thought it was going to be like he bought it, wanting to show him how good the team was, and they played like, I don't know, Nicky Papavicilou and stuff like that, all the crappy players from that period. Paul Kitson.
Marco Jackson says, I saw a bloke in a pub going, I'm not having that, I'm not fucking having that, at a stray Manchester United cross on a screen in a pub. Always nice to see those guys.
He was having that.
Was it when we together once and we saw a Chelsea fan watching the game on the TV, and then when Chelsea won, he just got up and just went, job well done. Just walked out.
I once saw when I was in the pub once, Chelsea fan say, when John Terry scored, he went, yes, get in there, you dirty man.
Do you remember when we were actually at Stamford Bridge as well, and there was a guy sat in front of us who shouted out in this really sort of slightly meek, slightly aggressive voice, sort it out, Carlo, you tactical pigmy.
Yeah, that was nice.
Any won the Champions League?
I got some updates on official Ramblers. Official Ramblers, something we talked about a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. David McCourt has said he is volunteering to be official Japanese language consultant at the Ramble.
Okay.
Something you'd be interested in, Peter, I thought. El Wheelio would like to put himself forward as official chartered surveyor of the Ramble. You never know if you need one of them. And Steve Holton has come in with a bid saying, is the post of Ramble train conductor available? I can't guarantee you a seat, the train to be on time, or value for money. Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
It's just like a normal train conductor, really.
Or a normal Ramble.
Try and keep the dogs off it from doing their business. That's fine.
We still need a cartographer and a sniper. So if you're either of those things, just let us know. Right?
Well, a sniper, just do a couple of signals or something. Don't give your position away.
Yeah.
I haven't actually got a website roundup from Kelly because she hasn't emailed me.
Not to worry. I've got a couple of highlights. Go on, Jim, you go.
My highlight of the week was Callum Wilson scoring an overhead kick against Leicester, making it 4-4, keeping him on target to get 38 goals in a season.
And we're going to have that £100 bet, yeah?
No.
My highlight of the week was Luke, by virtue of the fact he read out somebody's highlight of the week, saying that it was a bank holiday, even though those north of the border are not enjoying a bank holiday. So
and
have some respect.
And I'm not interested in that.
Yeah. We've got to mention the ref sending off Whittaker with his notebook.
He couldn't find his red.
He got the wrong one.
Oh, dear. Did he just quickly colour it in?
Well, no, he did. He went like that, but he thought he was holding...
Use a can of Coke.
Use a can of Coke, which all referees carry around. And this came to light. Bordeaux's new stadium is called the New Bordeaux Stadium.
Love it.
Wow.
I love that.
Yeah. They should have called it Bordeaux 2015.
I
and then it will
so.
Age like a bottle of wine.
Is it Sturm Graz who had a Arnold Schwarzenegger stadium?
It's
an Austrian team,
isn't it? It is an Austrian team.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think it might be Sturm Graz.
Is it Sturm Graz?
Who knows?
Yeah. It's one of them.
That's
but is the Arnold Schwarzenegger Stadium
it's
is
still
in,
called that, is it?
Is in Austria. I don't know if it's still called that, but it certainly was at one time. Mm. There we are. Any more for any more?
Nah.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Go to the website, thefootballramble.com.
Oh, Pete set us up a Snapchat as well.
Yes.
Any highlights?
Me pretending to be Martin O'Neill in my toilet.
Okay. No, then.
So, that's the kind of thing it's going to be.
So join us, Football Ramble. Just Football Ramble.
We're trying to get him to actually follow us.
All right, sorry, yeah.
excellent stuff. Is that all, chaps? Say goodbye, Jim, maybe.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.